The word of the Lord from John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Dear friends in Christ, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. A while before his death and resurrection, back in John chapter 6, Jesus and his disciples have withdrawn far from Jerusalem in the wilderness and across the Sea of Tiberias, the Roman name for the Sea of Galilee. The Passover is at hand, and all eyes should be set on Jerusalem. Instead, though, we read that a multitude is heading for Jesus in the wilderness. They have heard of the signs and miracles he has worked, and they have followed him to this remote mountain. They listen as he teaches, and the day goes by, and Jesus remarks to his disciples that the people have no food. In the frantic search that follows, the disciples find a boy who's had the foresight to bring a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish, but how can they feed the multitude with that? Well, they can't, but Jesus can. He takes the bread and fish, gives thanks, and distributes them to the crowd with the disciples as his hands. There's enough for all, for 5,000 men plus women and children. The people are rightly amazed. They declare Jesus to be a prophet. In fact, they try to make him a king by force. And who would not gladly follow and worship a king who gives you free food every day? That's not the plan, however, and Jesus leaves. He hasn't come to sit on a throne handing out bread to sinners to make their lives better until they die. He's come to save them by his death so that they might live forever. The following year, when the Passover comes, Jesus and his disciples are back in Jerusalem. It is a festival like no other. Jesus, whom crowds tried to make their king by force the year before, is declared the King of the Jews, crowned with thorns and nailed to his throne. He's despised by all, killed and laid in a tomb. That's a big change from feeding 5,000 with a few loaves and some fish. He rises from the dead, Death can't hold him despite the evil intent of sinners. And you could hardly blame him if he just took off and left the world to implode. In our gospel lesson, the disciples have seen the risen Jesus twice, both times in a locked room in Jerusalem. He hasn't left the world to implode. He's spoken words of peace to his disciples. He's told them they're forgiven for their sins, and that he will send them out to forgive the sins of others in his name. For now, they're still awaiting marching orders, and they're back up north. There's no reason to stay in Jerusalem at the moment, so they're back by the Sea of Tiberias. It's the old neighborhood where they first met Jesus, and the place has a lot of memories. So perhaps they recall that time across the water when Jesus fed the multitude so miraculously. Or perhaps you remember that time when Jesus was just calling his disciples when he taught the crowds from Peter's boat. That was the day after a night of fishing when they caught nothing at all. And after he was done teaching, this young rabbi had the nerve to tell the luckless fishermen to cast their nets off the other side of the boat. They did, and they hauled in a load of fish. Peter was so amazed and afraid of the Holy Savior that he said to Jesus, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." That's a big deal text, by the way. We imagine that while demons and wicked people want to get away from Jesus, your average nice guy unbeliever wouldn't mind so much and will still want to get into heaven when he sees Jesus on the last day. Think of the neighbor who says, "I'm not really opposed to Jesus, I just figure live and let live." But learn from Peter, the average nice guy fisherman. Confronted with just a whiff of Jesus' glory when he sees the miracle, he knows his own unholiness and wants to get away like the kid who's just broken his neighbor's window with a baseball. That's the instant reaction of the sinner when confronted by God in his glory. Run away. It's not because God is mean. It's because guilty people want to get away from whatever shows their sin. With Peter, though, Jesus won't have it. Instead of watching Peter flee in Luke 5, he tells Peter to follow him. So, the Sea of Galilee, has a lot of memories for the disciples. And with nothing specific to do, they decide to go fishing. Just like that night 3 years before, they catch nothing. And when morning dawns, a stranger greets them from shore and asks if they've caught any fish. And strangely, he calls them children. When they reveal they've caught nothing, he gives the seemingly useless direction to cast their net on the right side of the boat. They do. They catch more fish than the net is made to hold. And they figure out pretty quickly that the stranger on shore is Jesus. They head for shore. The impetuous Peter throws on his robe and swims to him. And when they arrive, Jesus has a charcoal fire burning with bread and fish already cooking as he bids them to bring some more fish from their net. I suppose we could say that after all that has happened, after the trauma of the crucifixion and the unbelievable joy of the resurrection, some things have changed, some things have not. Jesus hasn't changed. Well, he now has nail prints in his hands and feet and a scar on his side, inflicted by sinful humanity. But he remains the same savior of humanity that he always has been. There is no flinching when sinners draw near. No anger that they're so slow on the uptake, and no aloofness because they don't deserve his grace. He has sought out these disciples by the sea, he has given them another miraculous catch of fish, and he has summoned them to himself. And when they arrive, he feeds them a meal of bread and fish. So no, Jesus hasn't changed. If anything, he's just revealing his glory a little bit more than before the cross. Before, he gave them a miraculous catch of fish so big that it broke the nets. But this time, part of the miracle is the nets don't break despite the count, and not a single fish is lost. Before, he fed 5,000 with bread and fish that had spent the day in a boy's satchel, edible but cold. Now the fish sizzle and the smell of baked bread rises from the fire. He's the same Jesus, but a little bit more Jesus than they saw before. Peter has changed dramatically. 3 years before, he was a fisherman and decent fellow trying to get along with his life. And when he saw Jesus work the miracle, that miraculous catch of fish, he knew his sinfulness and wanted to get away from the Holy Son of God as fast as he possibly could. Now he's far more acutely aware that he's a sinner. I mean, he denied Jesus 3 times the night the Lord was betrayed. And we know from the next verses after our reading that this still weighs heavily on his mind. But even though Peter is far more conscious of his sinfulness, this time he doesn't want to get away from the Holy Son of God. Instead, he can't wait to get to Jesus. The sinful Peter swims for shore because that's where he'll find the risen Jesus who died and rose to forgive his sins. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is always the holy, almighty Son of God. And this is as true when he is swaddled in the manger as when he is enthroned in heaven at the Father's right hand. It is as true when he hangs on the cross, gasping his last as he dies for your sins, as it is when he emerges from the tomb on Easter Sunday. He does not die because he can't help it, but because he gladly submits to it to save you. For your salvation, he conceals his glory and hides his power at times, but you can be sure that he is always the holy, almighty Son of God. You can also be sure that he is always gracious and merciful, that he desires to forgive your sins so that you might have life in his name. In fact, behold, that morning by the sea, Jesus took the bread and gave it to the disciples, then the fish hot off the grill. And with 153 fish, the disciples could eat their fill and be satisfied for hours, days to come. But Jesus ups the ante and visits you with a better meal tonight. He gives you his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins so that you might be satisfied and alive forever. It's his body and blood that have already endured death and come out of the grave again. And with that, he gives you immortality. You are no longer the same. For the Lord has worked a great change in you. He has turned you from lost sinner to baptized child. He has joined you to his death and resurrection already and opened the kingdom of heaven to you. Your grave now is just a resting place, for he will raise you from the dead. As our epistle tonight proclaims, your life is hidden with God. You don't see it yet, but you are alive in Christ and will all be revealed on the last day. God grant that you are like Peter and the other disciples who fished that night, that whenever the Savior is at hand, you are quick to make your way to hear his word, partake of his meal, and receive his blessings. God grant you always the joy that even if your labors in this darkness appear as fruitless as a disciple's overnight fishing expedition, you know that your Savior awaits to summon you in the morning. This is sure because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which means he is always risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.